Are you an entrepreneur that's short on time, money, or just looking for that success blueprint? The Proven Entrepreneur is the podcast for you. Host Don Williams and his guests are sharing and inspiring entrepreneurs around the world with real success stories. Here's your host, Don Williams.
Hey, Don Williams here with today's episode of The Proven Entrepreneur. I have my good friend from way up north all the way to Tulsa, Oklahoma, Ellie Johansson. And Ellie owns a company by the name of 360 Engineering. Good morning, Ellie. How are you?
Doing excellent, Don. Thank you.
Good, good. So Ellie and I know each other 2, 3, 4 years, something like that. Met in EO, Entrepreneurs Organization, and attended the Regional Leadership Academy together. And so, and then are in a RLA forum, though we're not, you know, our attendance is not great. so there you go. So, Ellie, tell me a little bit about your company and what you do there. Let's start off with, where are you today?
I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in our home office here. We have three offices, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, and Manhattan, Kansas. Started out with just here in Tulsa, and as both client needs and projects grew, and then people who were moving for kind of personal reasons, being closer to family, decided to move to those locations, it kind of tended to be a great opportunity for us to open offices, and it's been a really, really great experience. Oklahoma City is just doing gangbusters, lots of activity right there, and we are just fortunate to be able to provide our customers what they need, and they keep sending us more and more.
That's awesome. So I'll come back to the type of engineering, but I love the fact that you had some team members who moved, and sounds to me like rather than looking at that as a negative experience, you looked at that as looked for the positive and, hey, could we expand? Could we have a bigger footprint? And is that basically how that went?
Yes. The Oklahoma City was kind of a natural progression. Kind of a lot of companies that are either in Oklahoma City or Tulsa, that tends to be kind of a, you know, the next logical step there. Sure. But yeah, turning those when those things came along, and as with I think we've had 4 or 5 people move from the Tulsa office to the Oklahoma City office, so it kind of provides that flexibility, and most of it is to be family or spouse has gotten a job in that area. And as we recruit with people out of school, being able to say, it's like, hey, which one do you prefer? Because there is that natural gravitation, whether it's, and some want to go from the city they don't, they aren't familiar with, but having that. And both the individuals that kind of started that, they either had young kids or young kids coming on the way, being closer to family. So it's kind of making them part of the tribe then. And absolutely. And, you know, turning the positive into a negative, or kind of read the Matthew McConaughey book recently, Green Lights. So it was just kind of, it was a green light.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Kind of counterintuitive, but I love it when an entrepreneur sees what most entrepreneurs would see as a problem and they turn it into a positive. So tell me, 360 Engineering, what kind of engineering are you? Mechanical, civil, petrochemical? What do you do?
We're structural engineers. Sometimes it's referred under the civil category, but in our world, we're kind of civil as roads and bridges and land and water type of stuff. We are do the building. So kind of the architect comes up with the drawing, what it looks like, how it functions, and we make it stand up.
Awesome. So, love that.
Steel, yeah. Concrete, rebar, all that stuff.
Obviously, we need people to be sure that it stands up. Very, 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 very important. So next question, let's go back to young Ellie. So childhood, maybe 5 to, you know, before you went off to college. And were your parents entrepreneurial?
My dad is, yeah. My mom is not, and my mom lives in Iceland. still, but yeah, my father has his own company. Even as he was going through school, he was kind of working side gig as a Mason. And as that kind of grew, gained a good reputation, doing good work, do quality work, and that kind of gained the reputation, was allowed him to step out on his own. And now he's got two businesses. And so kind of having that, seeing that and working in that business, and kind of during college, I would run a kind of the stucco division of that group, and seeing it up front, having to get the money to come in, pay the money out, kind of that, not just the doing the work. It's kind of a kind of with working in the business or working on the business. So that was a really valuable experience to go through and see that. As far as kind of a younger side, you know, kind of always had that, say restlessness, but just kind of the going with the flow and going through the day was usually not quite enough. I had to have something else kind of go. I remember the grocery store across the street where I used to live, applied there. I think it was about 12 or 13 or so. And they were like, well, you're, you know, I love the enthusiasm, but a little young. We're going to need somebody need you to grow a few, you know, wait a few years, but had a paper route, small route, go with the extra papers that I'd have. I'd find a coffee shop that wasn't too far. That was kind of an industrial area. So I'd go sell my extra copies that you'd get if one was got damaged, sold those for there, use that money for, you know, going skiing or anything like that. So there's been a kind of a thread throughout the time of like, I got to go just push it a little farther, see how I can gain a little bit more out of than just the average day.
Yeah. So you were a hustler early. And love that. And, you know, so often we see that today's entrepreneurs, whether their parents were entrepreneurial or not, their parents instilled this, you know, deep work ethic. And so, you know, they were doing a paper route and selling the extra papers and trying to get a job where you probably had to be 16 when you were 12. And so big goals and great work ethic. So, you know, you don't have an Oklahoma accent, and I kind of have a little Texas accent. Where are you from originally, Ellie?
So, yeah, originally from Iceland, born and grew up there. And yeah, been here almost 30 years, and kind of, yeah, lost the accent along the way. When I first came, I had a pretty thick accent. But I've heard I moved to the United States at 16, and your kind of final language skills form about 17, 18, 19. So I got here kind of just under the wire and was able to kind of lose some of that or adapt it. I wish I would still have a little bit, but yeah, it's kind of, people still think I'm from Oklahoma, but I think I'm just kind of from somewhere up north or some other parts of the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. And so do you get back every once in a while?
Yeah. I try to go back once a year, although two canceled trips in the last year and a half due to the circumstances, but you know, it'll just be greater to come back next time I go. But yeah, I even did a chapter trip with EO to Iceland. It's fantastic to do that, kind of be a tourist and got to go see and do some stuff that I probably never would have done, because you go home and visit family and you kind of do the, you know, the normal stuff. You don't go do the touristy thing. So it was excellent. Just kind of sit back and take it all in as a tourist.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So after childhood and young Ellie went to, where'd you go to college?
Went to Oklahoma State in Stillwater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go Pokes.
So yeah, go Pokes. And I actually, before that, I did kind of, since I moved here at 16, the high school system's a little different, or the school system. So at 16, I ended up going to community college, Tulsa Community College, which was just a fantastic experience and allowed me to kind of adapt a little bit. I don't think I was quite ready to go to a full-size university and living away at 16, 17. So got me a chance to adapt a little bit, get a little bit of language skills, and turned out to be really good because I was able to focus so much more on those individual classes instead of the whole experience, the social, the living on your own, all that to happen. And that community college just turned 50 years old this last year. And they did kind of recognized their 50 distinguished alumni. And I was one of those. So I was really proud to do that.
That's awesome.
Proud to be part of that group. So really successful and unique, remarkable people are part of that group, and just felt honored to be. That was my first experience in the American school system to go through that, and got recognized for it 20 plus years later.
That's awesome. And is a tribute to the community college system in the U.S., you know, as being a good transition to a full-blown university. So is 360 Engineering your first company?
Yes, full kind of a employee, you know, with employees and, you know, full on company. It had some rental properties and kind of odds and end types of things like that. But, you know, first one with employees and, you know, what I call a real business, not just kind of a side hustle. So,
yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you started 360 Engineering. So you've graduated from school. Did you go work for another engineering company for a while? Did you start your company right out of school? How'd that go about?
So, started at a couple of engineering firms, or one engineering firm, worked there about 10 years, got great experience, exposed to some really great and talented people. And I got the opportunity to work on a variety of stuff, anything from big things to small things, and being out in the field a lot. And as I kind of got to a point where, I think I remember getting a 10-year anniversary kind of gift card or a thank you card. And it just kind of hit me like, oh, wow, it's been 10 years.
snuck up on you.
Yeah, snuck up on me. And even being remember part of that company discussion about, you know, hey, what do we do to retain people and, you know, recognize them for their longevity and being here. And was part of the discussion and the suggestion of, hey, we should do something nice and get the card, but did not think of me being on the receiving end of the card and going, wow, it has been a while, and kind of reframed and focused that, okay, am I here to stay? Am I going to do something else? An opportunity came along to kind of be in more of a leadership position at a different company that had a lot more multifaceted. They did a full service firm, basically, so they did architecture, structural, civil. And so I got a lot more kind of management experience and hands-on with leading a group and interacting with others. And from there, that kind of was a good springboard, and met my business partner there. And it was a good springboard for kind of that training and diversity and seeing how others did it to start 360. And we'd kind of started doing some work here and there, some smaller project people asked us to take a look at. And I know some contractors and architects that when I was like, hey, I've got this little thing, can you provide me a little sketch? And that kind of started snowballing a little bit, and I was like, "Oh, it's time to give this a shot as a real deal." And we're fortunate to kind of get started and get great support from our clients, and we're able to grow the business pretty rapidly.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how old is the company?
It'll be 8 years old this summer, or in a couple of months. So
started years.
In 2013.
That's awesome. So many entrepreneurs, you know, even when business is going pretty well and things are growing, sometimes they hit a warp speed moment. So they're going along pretty good, and then all of a sudden things are just clicking, and it might be a major contract, or it might be an A player they recruit to the team. But do you have a warp speed moment that you can share with us today?
Yeah, and I can't think of like a one specific, like a project or an instance, but when we started, the goal was, you know, 5 people, million in revenue, and get into a building. We kind of started out in a back of an insurance office. A friend had a couple of empty desks, and we just showed up with laptops and did that for a few months. Then we're kind of in the back of a garage that was kind of under renovation, three or four of us, that was not very conducive to growth or adding more people. So when we got bought a building here in the kind of the downtown Tulsa area, moved into that. And since the goal was that five people, we got to that. And as that had enough legs and a capacity to do more work, there was just some, 6 to 8 month period there where we got more projects and then we finished those and we got another one and larger and larger. And then, so there was a 6 to 8 month period there where they were just coming in way, way faster than we were anticipating. Or luckily we were able to hire some more people, but it kind of went from that. You hit your goal and you're just kind of plateau from there, but it hit that and then just kind of took off and quickly grew to maybe off on the numbers a little bit here, but doubled in size. I think it was about 10 to 11 people, added some more capability, brought in some contract labor, some assistance there. But yeah, it was that kind of the startup excitement phase. And, I remember hearing people, so we close by kind of some an entertainment district and kind of on the downtown edge. And friends said, it doesn't matter what time of day or night I drive by that building, there's always cars there and the lights are always on, which wasn't necessary. In retrospect, like, well, we could have probably managed that a little bit better. So people aren't here all hours of the day, but yeah, exciting. And, just kind of being able to grow and having the ability to have the capital and finances to support that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So I love, when you get that hockey stick where things just, they're going. So what about, is there a hard lesson? Is there something that you've gone through in your entrepreneurial journey that caused a little pain and anguish, but in retrospect, you look back and you're like, yeah, probably all worked out for the best, but it wasn't fun at the time.
Yeah, I think the main thing would be kind of the realization of it's the people. Since we don't manufacture anything, we don't, have selling a product or software. It's just, our ideas and interacting with customers and solving their problems and providing them the document that conveys that idea. And so I think it was in the Clinton campaign '92 where it's the economy stupid. So I had basically a moment. It's like, it's the people stupid. So I was not doing a good job of connecting with employees, with recognizing what they're going through. Right? It was more of just what's kind of the construction or manufacturing mentality of we just got to get it done.
Whip in a chair, get back to work.
type of stuff. Not quite that bad, but the mentality was more of just all that matters is getting it done. And now went through a period where we lost some people. Really great people, but I kind of there's never really one specific thing, but the focus wasn't on the employees. And that was definitely a difficult time of, because, as a entrepreneur and starting a company, I know there's, it's work is work and people are going to do what they've got to do, but you kind of take that, or certainly I took it that I didn't do everything I needed to do to keep them overall balanced. Got the engineering part of it, or the work part, but not kind of the relationships. And so that's really changed kind of how I look at it. RLA was just a huge game changer for me of kind of seeing the big picture, but don't do a perfect job of it today, but doing a lot better of checking in with people and kind of just training the vision and kind of how you view the day-to-day operations and my responsibilities instead of just getting the numbers done.
Yeah, that leadership role is so important. And I think one of my favorite quotes was Herb Kelleher, the founder and original CEO of Southwest Airlines. And the first part of the quote's not very popular, but I like it too, where he said, the customer's not always right. And of course, that goes contrary to what everybody says. Yeah. But he goes on to say the customer's not always right, but they are always the customer. I mean, they're still paying the bill, and yeah. So it's probably good manners to let them think that they're always right. But Herb said, "I'm not going to take care of my customers. I'm going to take care of my people. And because I take care of my people will take care of my customers." And worked pretty well for Southwest. I think they're the only airline in history that's shown a profit every quarter for 45 years. And some of the others can't seem to figure out how to make money. And you're like, can't be that hard. All you really have to do is just copy what Southwest Airlines is doing. And of course, you know, in the last 10 or 15 years, we've seen, you know, some that came in and attempted to do that. So think back to 20-year-old Ellie. And if today we could put you in a time machine and you could go back and have a conversation with your 20-year-old self, but you could only share one piece of advice. And as soon as you gave that advice, the time machine would bring you back to the current time, but you get this 10 or 15 seconds to go back and see your 20-year-old self and give one piece of advice regarding your entrepreneurial journey. What would that be?
That's a great question. One piece of advice I think would probably be enjoy the journey. It's not about getting from the point A to point B. I used to kind of almost engineer my way to efficiency of I'll show up to, you know, every meeting, there's 5 minutes of chit chat in the beginning. How you doing? You know, how the kids, all this sort of stuff. It's like, well, I'm going to show up to the meeting 5 minutes late because we'll get that out of the way and get right to business. So, but that journey, and I think, yeah, just listening instead of being, I'm trying to hone it down to just one piece of advice, but I think it would be enjoy the journey and listen along the way.
Yeah, love that. You're a typical entrepreneur. One piece of advice you stuck in two. I love that. I love that. Yeah. So, enjoy the journey and listen to other people. So, when I've had to answer that question, my answer has always been this: please get input from diverse people, people who don't have my personality, don't see things the way I see it. Because, you know, I'm not always right. I'm right a lot, but I'm not always right. And sometimes other people see it, you know, better than the leader. And it's just good leadership to let people know, you know, I'm not the supreme keeper of all knowledge. You know, I might be wrong. So if there's anything that the Proven Entrepreneur tribe or clan could do for you, if you could ask us one thing for you and or your business, what would that be?
Oh, that's a great question as well.
It's always the toughest one because entrepreneurs have such a hard time asking for anything from them.
Give me just a second here. I think it probably maybe a better way to kind of implement that, the communication and connection with the employees, make them feel valued, how to do that in a way where it just kind of becomes part of the culture and how to, I'm kind of thinking about it and peeling layers of the onion is kind of that integration of people into the culture, into the tribe, how to do that in a successful way, because you're hiring people when you're busy. And then it's, you know, the tendency of getting to, you know, get to the chair, get to the computer, start working type of thing, and not taking that longer, kind of more in-depth integration part. So I think that probably be the, you know, we do communicate a lot, and I think it was even Herb Keller that talked about the CEOs, the kind of chief reminding officers, just continually reminding what the values, what we're doing, kind of the core focus is. But that can take a while to kind of ramp up. So a way to do that more effectively.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because we know that teamwork makes the dream work, and good teamwork makes the dream work well. Yeah. And the faster that happens, the better. So, Ellie, if somebody in the audience wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way to contact you?
Best way is probably email. So it's ELLI@360enggroup.com.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on The Proven Entrepreneur. And folks, that's today's episode of The Proven Entrepreneur. We'll see you next time. Thanks.
Are you an entrepreneur that's short on time, money, or just looking for that success blueprint? The Proven Entrepreneur is the podcast for you. Host Don Williams and his guests are sharing and inspiring entrepreneurs around the world with real success stories. Here's your host, Don Williams.